Chapter 7, Continued. Navigating Neoliberalism. While utopias seek to transform the cultural hegemony of neoliberalism, education forms a key institution for transforming intellectual hegemony. It is the educational apparatus that indoctrinates new generations in the dominant values of a particular society, reproducing its ideology through the decades. In the education system, children learn the basic ideas of a society, respect for, in fact submission to, the existing order, and the skills necessary to distribute them along different segments of the labor market. Transforming the educational system of intellectuals is therefore a key task in building a new hegemony. It is not for nothing that the Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Samuelson wrote that, quote, "I don't care who writes a nation's laws, or crafts its advanced treatises, if I can write its economics textbooks," unquote. Projects focused on changing this institutional element of society could focus on three broad goals: pluralizing the teaching of economics, reinvigorating the study of leftist economics, and expanding popular economic literacy. It is often forgotten, so deeply are we embedded in neoliberalism, that economics was once a relatively pluralist discipline. The interwar period was a time of healthy competition between a variety of formalist and non-formalist approaches. In academic journals, it was not unusual to see discussions of economic planning, the tendency for the rate of profit to fall, and other standard categories of Marxist economics. In the 1960s, the Cambridge Capital Controversy brought together heterodox and mainstream thinkers in a seminal debate about the foundations of the discipline, one that everyone admits the heterodox thinkers won. As late as the 1970s, one of the founders of modern economics was discussing exploitation, the labor theory of value, and the transformation problem in a leading economics journal. Such an event is difficult to imagine today. While neoclassical economics is a large tent that contains a variety of approaches, it is nevertheless a fundamentally limited perspective on what counts as real economic knowledge. This problem is compounded by the particular methodological demands of the most preeminent journals, with formal modeling taking precedence over more sociological analyses and qualitative understandings. If the broad cultural and academic ideas of how to run economies are to change, at a minimum it will require more pluralism in the education of students. Here there are glimmers of hope for a pluralist revival. Work is being done across the world to bring alternative economics to mainstream universities, and groups of students and professionals alike are beginning to mobilize around this issue. Since 2000, numerous universities have seen students vocally demand pluralism in their economics education. More recent years have seen students openly protesting the defenders of mainstream economics and the emergence of groups like the Post-Crash Economic Society and Rethinking Economics that are making concerted efforts to change the curriculum. Essential to a project of pluralizing economics, however, is the development of a research program and textbooks. Part of the reason for the rise of formalist approaches is precisely their fit with institutional requirements of higher education. They provided theories for researchers to spend time testing, textbooks and PhDs to continue a lineage of thought, and clear and transmissible principles. Today, the field has come to be dominated by neoclassical textbooks, and the result is that, even if professors want to pluralize the discipline, they do not have many accessible resources to hand. Indications that this might be changing include the creation of a heterodox textbook by two proponents of modern monetary theory. But more work needs to be done on this front in order to broaden the parochial horizons of mainstream economics. To support this process, there should be a movement to rejuvenate leftist economics. The dearth of economic analysis on the left could be seen in the wake of the 2008 crisis, when the most prominent critical response was a makeshift Keynesianism. The left was largely without a meaningful and desirable economic program, having focused primarily on the critique of capitalism rather than the elaboration of alternatives. This is a crisis of utopian imagination, but also of cognitive limits. A series of emerging contemporary phenomena must be thought through carefully. For instance, the causes and effects of secular stagnation, the transformations invoked by the shift to an informational post-scarcity economy, the changes wrought by the introduction of full automation and a universal basic income, the possible approaches to collectivizing automated manufacturing and services, the progressive potentials of alternative approaches to quantitative easing, the most effective ways to decarbonize the means of production, the implications of dark pools for financial instability, and so on. Equally, research should be revived on what post-capitalism might look like in practice. Beyond a few outdated classics, very little research has been done to think through an alternative economic system. even less so in the wake of emerging technologies like additive manufacturing, self-driving vehicles, and soft AI. What role, for instance, could non-state cryptocurrencies have? How does one measure value if not by abstract or concrete labor? How can ecological concerns be fully accounted for in a post-capitalist economic framework? What mechanism can replace the market and overcome the socialist calculation problem? And what are the likely effects of the possible tendency for the rate of profit to fall? Building a post-capitalist world is as much a technical task as a political one. And in order to begin thinking about it, the left needs to overcome its general aversion to formal modeling and mathematics. There is no small amount of irony in the fact that the same people who criticize the abstraction of mathematical modeling often adhere to the most abstract dialectical readings of capitalism. This recognition of the uses of quantitative methods does not mean simply adopting neoclassical models or slavishly following the dictates of numbers. But the rigor and computational elaboration that can come with formal modeling are essential for grappling with the complexity of the economy. However, from modern monetary theory to complexity economics, from ecological to participatory economics, trajectories of innovative thought are being launched, even if they remain marginal for now. Equally, organizations like the New Economics Foundation are leading the way in creating models of the economy that can inform leftist political goals, as well as fostering public literacy in economic matters. The latter point is particularly important, as increasing economic literacy means not only transforming the practice of academic economists, but also making the economy intelligible to non-specialists. Sophisticated analyses of economic trends need to be connected to the intuitive insights of everyday lives. While, for the near future, the revival of leftist economics is likely to be centered in academia, the aim should be to spread such economics education far beyond the confines of universities. Unions could use their resources to educate their members about the changing nature of the contemporary economy. Through internal education programs, rank-and-file workers can begin to situate the problems of their workplaces and communities within a larger economic context. Similar approaches can be, and in many cases already are, achieved through the training of activists. Open schools provide another medium for education, giving the public a chance to learn about ideas that are too often made impenetrable by academic jargon, and from which they are excluded by exorbitant tuition and publisher fees. There is a long tradition in the UK of working-class education, which can be drawn upon to learn from. For example, the Workers' Educational Association already provides low-cost adult education to local communities. Such institutions provide ways in which abstract economic understandings can be linked up with the on-the-ground knowledge of workers, activists, and community members, each mutually shaping the other. Working systematically to develop pluralism, economic research and public education will play a significant role in strengthening the utopian narratives outlined in the previous section, and providing the necessary navigational tools to chart a course out of capitalism.